Hey everyone, welcome back. You know that feeling, right? Where you just stumble onto something, a story, a case, and you get this feeling like it's going to change how you see, well, everything.
Yeah, like you're about to go down the rabbit hole.
Exactly. And today, folks, we're diving into a story that might just do that. Get ready, because it's eBay, the Department of Justice, and a tiny little piece of internet law that has everyone, well, everyone's talking about it.
And for good reason. This case really gets at the heart of something we've been wondering about for a while now. Just how much responsibility do online marketplaces have for what's being sold, you know, on their platforms?
It's a wild ride, I'll tell you that. So picture this. The DOJ decides to sue eBay. And not just a slap on the wrist, this is a full-on legal battle.
Well, they meant business.
They did. And their accusations, eBay selling pesticides in these devices, get this, that are designed to cheat emissions tests.
Yeah. Potentially violating a whole bunch of environmental laws.
A whole bunch. And the DOJ, they came out strong. Basically saying, look, just because you're online, it doesn't mean you get to ignore the law, these environmental rules. They apply to everyone. It doesn't matter if you're this massive online marketplace or a little shop down the street.
They were drawing a line in the sand, that's for sure.
They were. Now, eBay, they're no pushover, right? They come back swinging, and their secret weapon. Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act.
Okay, Section 230, that's a fascinating one. It's this piece of legislation, and essentially, it protects these online platforms from being held responsible for what users post, or in this case, sell. Honestly, it's been a cornerstone of the internet as we know it.
So eBay's argument was, well, we're just the platform. We connect buyers and sellers. We don't actually sell anything ourselves. But, and this is the big question, does that hold up in court?
And that's where the legal definition of sell becomes, well, really important. eBay's lawyers, they pulled out Black's Law Dictionary, pointed to the Uniform Commercial Code and said, to sell something, you need to own it, have possession of it. eBay, we never touched those pesticides or emission devices. We didn't sell them.
So were they finding a loophole?
It's more nuanced than just a loophole. They were leveraging like a fundamental legal principle. Remember, the DOJ's whole case was that eBay was selling these products, so if eBay could dismantle that argument, boom, case closed.
And spoiler alert, that's kind of what happened.
It is. Get this. Judge Merchant, she's the one on the case. She sided with eBay. Case dismissed. Sent a really strong signal about how far this law can reach.
Whoa, talk about a plot twist.
Right. Judge Merchant, she really listened to both sides. She went through all the arguments, but in the end, she agreed with how eBay saw it. Mm-hmm. You know, that just because they sent some emails, processed payments, and gave a platform for people to do business, it didn't mean eBay sold those products.
So eBay wins. But hold on, folks. This is where it gets really, really interesting. I mean, for the future of, well, the internet. This wasn't just about eBay. It was about setting a precedent. This case really throws open the doors on something, a question people have been wondering about for a while. How much responsibility do these online marketplaces have for what's sold, for what happens on their platforms, you know?
This ruling, you know, it really sent shockwaves.
It did.
Through the tech world, everyone's talking about it. And it really reignited this whole debate about the future of the internet.
Yeah.
And really, you know, about Section 230, that law we were talking about.
Right. And you've got some people cheering, right, saying, hey, this protects free speech online. And then you have others who are saying, hold on, this lets these platforms, these companies get away with some really, really shady stuff.
It's like, it's a classic tug of war.
All right, right, totally.
You have one side saying that, you know, this law, this Section 230, it's allowed all this harmful content to grow unchecked online.
Right, right.
Things like hate speech, misinformation, even, you know, instructions for making dangerous things.
Yeah.
And they say, look, we got to hold these platforms more accountable. What happens, happens on their watch. They need to be responsible.
And it makes sense, right? To hold them accountable.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. But then on the other side, you have, you know, the folks defending the law.
Yeah.
And they're saying, look, this is the bedrock of free speech online. This is what makes it work.
Mm-hmm.
And they worry that if we get rid of it, platforms are going to freak out. They're going to be so cautious that they start censoring everything. Anything that's even remotely controversial.
Yeah.
Just to avoid getting sued, you know.
Right.
And then what happens?
Exactly.
You get this chilling effect on free speech.
Right. So instead of having all these crazy ideas, we just get...
Exactly. Exactly. The internet's supposed to be this open place for ideas, right?
Which it is.
And this could stifle all of that. So it's a tough one.
It is a tough one. I mean, protecting users, yeah, that's important, but protecting free speech is also really, really important. It's like, where do you even begin to find that balance?
I know. It's a question that has everyone scratching their heads. Lawmakers, tech giants, even everyday folks just scrolling through, you know. And then you have these groups like, you know, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, they are staunchly defending this law.
And for folks who may not know, the EFF, they're like a digital rights advocacy group. They've been around. So what's their take on this whole thing? Why are they so adamant about keeping Section 230 like completely intact?
Well, they argue that the whole point of the law is to promote user speech, to make sure that when you say something online, you're the one who's held responsible, not some platform, and that it lets all these different kinds of online platforms exist in the first place. They think if we start messing with it, weakening this law, it's going to do more harm than good. It could silence all these dissenting voices, the people who have different opinions. And it would make it really, really hard, especially for the smaller platforms, to figure out all the legal stuff, all the rules.
So they're basically saying, hey, back off, everyone. This law is working just fine.
They say instead of dismantling it, why don't we focus on the real issues? You know, the root causes of why people are posting harmful stuff online. Why don't we try to find better solutions to those problems?
Address those root causes. So we've got this legal battle, a law that has everybody talking, and this whole group that's like hands off. But how does this affect regular people like you and me? What does it mean for everyday people who just want to buy and sell stuff online?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question, right? This case, the whole debate, it affects all of us. Because really, when you boil it down, it's about who's responsible for what's being sold online. Is it the platform where you're buying it? Is it the seller? Is it even the buyer? It's a big one. Right now, it seems like the courts are saying, platforms, you're off the hook. But is that the right way to go?
I mean, is that the best approach?
It's complicated, you know, because there are good arguments on both sides. I mean, think about it. If we hold platforms liable for every single thing that somebody sells on their site, it's going to be really hard, you know, for those platforms to exist. It could crush innovation and make it super difficult for small businesses trying to sell their products.
It'd be almost impossible.
But if they face no consequences, then what? We could see all sorts of bad stuff ending up in the hands of consumers.
Totally. It's like, how do you balance, you know, protecting people from harmful things while also letting those businesses grow and thrive?
It's that classic, with great power.
Comes great responsibility.
And these online marketplaces, they have a ton of power, right? I mean, they connect buyers and sellers all over the world. But that means they need to make sure that their platforms are not being used for illegal stuff.
They need to take some responsibility.
And this case just shows you how tricky it is to figure that out in the digital age. Think about it. What if these platforms, to avoid getting sued, what if they get super strict about what they allow?
So instead of finding that one-of-a-kind vintage thing you've been looking for, you get these like mass-produced, pre-approved options.
That's not exactly the exciting online marketplace we all love, is it?
Not at all.
No. So it's a slippery slope, right? We're trying to fix one thing, but it could have all these unintended consequences down the road. It could really change the online marketplace as we know it.
Totally. So how do we find that balance? How do we keep people safe, but also keep that innovation going?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? How do we find that balance? It really is. And you know, the EFF actually has some pretty interesting examples of why they think this law is so important. Like, they often point to online reviews, you know, like on Yelp or TripAdvisor. Imagine if those platforms could be sued every time someone left a bad review.
Oh, wow. So no more like really honest reviews about a restaurant that maybe isn't so clean.
And, you know, that hurts consumers in the end. The EFF argues that the law, it lets these platforms, you know, they can host all sorts of different opinions, even if they're negative or controversial, without having to worry about, you know, constantly being dragged into court.
Which makes sense.
It protects that free exchange of ideas and information, which, I mean, that's what the internet's all about, right?
Although it makes you wonder, where do we draw the line? You know, I mean, obviously no one wants this free-for-all where, you know, anything goes, but too much control, too much censorship. That's not good either.
It's a tough one. It's a real balancing act.
It is a balancing act.
And you know what the EFF says? They say instead of trying to control everything that's posted, everything that's sold online, maybe we should, you know, focus on those root causes.
Okay.
Like, why are people posting this harmful stuff?
Yeah.
Why don't we focus on holding those people accountable or promoting, you know, digital literacy?
Oh, interesting. So less about, like, policing every corner of the internet and more about giving users the tools to navigate it safely, responsibly.
Yeah,
it's like a whole different way of thinking about responsibility, you know, online responsibility.
Yeah. Exactly. And it makes you realize, like, how complicated this all is.
It is.
The law, technology, individual responsibility, they're all connected. This case, this whole debate, it's not just about eBay or pesticides, you know.
Right.
It's about the future of the internet. It affects all of us.
That is a really, really, that's a big thought. Okay, so as we kind of wrap things up here, what's the one thing you want our listeners to really take away from this whole conversation?
I think the biggest thing is that we're at a crossroads. The internet is at a crossroads, right?
Yeah.
The choices we're making right now about these online marketplaces, about responsibility, you know, how do we balance safety and letting people speak their minds? These choices are going to be with us for a long, long time. They're going to shape what the internet looks like, you know, for years to come.
Wow. That is a lot to think about. But that's what we do here at the Deep Dive, right? We give you the information and you bring the curiosity, the questions, you keep thinking about it.
And it's quite a journey.
It really is. And on that note, I think it's time for us to wrap up this deep dive. A huge, huge thank you to you, our expert, for breaking it all down for us. It's complicated stuff.
It was my pleasure, really.
And to all of you listening, thank you so much for being here with us, for joining us on this journey of discovery.
Yes, thank you.
Until next time, stay curious, and we'll catch you on the flip side.